is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, Sox lose 1-0 in extras at the Great American Ballpark to Waddle's Reds.
Yeah.
Controversy involving strategy and not knowing the rule book for Tony La Russa. I'll play you that in a minute.
Again.
Cubs have an early game at Wrigley against the Dodgers. So they swept that doubleheader yesterday. Should be fun to see what happens tonight.
Merck called last night another turning point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. I said the Cubs are back.
Yeah, me too.
The Cubs are back. Let's get to Michael Wilbon every Wednesday, 5 o'clock.
By the way, Michael's brought to you by HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW. All in one place, HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
Wilbon? It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
All right, Michael, how well do you know about this Tony La Russa postgame that Scott the City
I only heard about it from you guys because I got to tell you, it's not a national thing yet. It may become one.
Yes.
But I got to make an admission. I have to make a much more embarrassing admission than Tony La Russa. So I'm watching a bunch of stuff last night. I'm watching some baseball. I'm watching the NBA, and Justin Turner hits a home run high into the left field front row or two. It goes to 3-1 Dodgers.
Oh, you turned it off?
I'm like, damn it, Cubs can't sweep. I turned it off.
Just learned of
the outcome when you said Cubs sweep the Dodgers. I'm like, oh my God. I turned it off and didn't even check back.
Here's what you missed.
How'd the Cubs win?
That's hammered to left. That one going back. We are tied.
There's a Javi home run to tie it, and then Bodie won it in walk-off fashion.
So and it's all in the 10th?
Yeah. Yeah. That stupid extra innings rule, Mike. That dumb extra innings.
It is a stupid rule.
Yeah, it is.
I was trying to order some Chicago pizza then. Rosati's is out here in the desert trying to order some pizza, and the woman answers the phone this way: "We can't take your order now. Our air conditioner blew up and we're on fire."
Wow.
And I go, "What are you doing answering the phone?" And now I can blame her for missing the bottom of the eighth.
All right. I want to play you this. So another extra inning thing here. We know the rules are confusing. Yeah. We know this. I want to play you this audio, though. So Liam Hendricks, in the top of the 10th inning, was brought in a double switch. He went to run at second for the runner on second. But the rule goes now that if the pitcher is the last out or takes the spot of the person who made last out, you don't need to run the pitcher. You get to go back to the hitter before that. Right. So Tony didn't know that, and this is what happened in the post game. Take a listen, and I want to know on a scale of 1 to 10 how cringeworthy this is.
Tony Osada using Hendricks as the runner in the second inning, was that an intentional choice? As the rule book says, you could have used Abreu as the pinch runner in that case.
Well, you have to use the guy who made the last out. And that was Vaughn, not Abreu. So Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com, said if the player in the batting order immediately preceding that half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did the umps explain anything like that?
I didn't know that. We all thought that Liam was going to be the runner, and that's why I wanted there, because if you wanted a double switch to keep him in the game, if you look at all, Abreu back to Moncada and so forth, that's not who you want to double switch out of the game. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out.
Uh-oh.
Or that spot in the order.
Tony, what went into the decision to have Leary stealing in that spot?
Well, we had, he can run. They're playing the infield in. We wanted to be aggressive. And they threw him out. You know, we try to be aggressive all day long. We just couldn't get in a situation. So that's the only way you win games like that.
Hindsight's 20/20, but with him being the trail runner, is there any – you wish you would have had that one back?
No.
Was that trying to set up for Liam to try to come home on that, or is that just about, you know,
He wasn't going to run home. That's the reason. I mean, we're going to try to avoid any kind of contact at the plate. We're looking for a fly ball or something. So,
mommy, make it.
You know, the base was there to be stolen. We didn't steal it.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendricks?
Yeah, if I'd known that, I didn't know that. I checked the rule. That was why the guys on the bench came out and questioned me about, you know, that Liam was going to be the runner. And I said, yeah, I know. So we didn't know it. But I know because if you look at the other guys that you would double switch out of the game, I mean, those are not guys. Vaughn was the guy to come out. I thought we had to get out of the thing. You know, Kopech done a great job, but, you know, his command there at the end. So we got the out in the ninth. But, well, you know, I'll reread that situation. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
What do you think, Michael?
It's bad. It's bad. The only thing that mitigates it a little bit is nobody knows the damn rule. The rules are stupid. The seventh inning, putting a guy on second is stupid. Extra innings. It's just dumb. I mean, it's just dumb. And it's made to serve a situation of gotcha. And Tony La Russa was in the victim position of gotcha. And it looks bad. There's no question about it. And people are going to start talking about his age and how long he's away from the game. And you can do all that, and all that can be true, and the optics are bad, and it's still stupid. I mean, you know, I'm not one of these – I don't need to turn baseball – over America's oldest sport over to a bunch of millennial marketers. I don't.
But it, that being said, and that is a whole separate issue, the manager's job requires him to know the baseball rules.
It does. That's why I said it's bad. It looks bad, period.
I thought the more egregious, and to give you a little bit more clarity as well, Hendricks is on third. Larry Garcia is on first. Billy Hamilton, who can fly, and you can't double up Billy Hamilton, is at the dish. And Garcia, with one out, attempts to steal. And this
it's
was,
crazy.
It's
bad.
There's
no debating. There's no other side.
Right.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And then we go. So we got three issues. You got the managerial faux pas just over strategic matters. You got not knowing the rule book, and you got the rule book being stupid.
Yeah,
more than one thing can be true. Yep. All three of those things are true.
Agreed.
So, Michael, what do you do now? I mean, the topic going into this season with Tony is, what's it going to look like after being away from the game as long as he's been? And when we have talked about this stuff weekly here, this isn't like the first instance. Jeff Passan 2 days ago wrote about it. People in the clubhouse questioning it. Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic wrote about it yesterday. This is a weekly occurrence, and now this happens. What do you do?
There's nothing. What are you going to do? What can you do? I don't know that. Look, they made this bad. This didn't come as a surprise. It's not like Tony La Russa's taking somebody's place who got, you know, fell ill in the middle of the season and they had to move him in, and oh, my God. They knew. I mean, this is what Jerry wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here's what you got to do. You got to live with it. And that doesn't seem to me to be the only White Sox issues. What's their record right now?
They are currently 16-13, I believe, after today's loss.
I was going to say plus three.
Yeah.
So they're three. What are they, in second or third? Everybody in the league is 17-12.
Right.
Everybody in baseball, 17-12. There's no great team out there. All the people who thought the Dodgers were going to be automatically great, they look stupid too. And they looked stupid even when they were 13-2, and people were saying they're going to have the greatest record ever. That's just stupid. Like, you know what's more embarrassing than Tony La Russa doing this? How awful the media has gotten. How stupid people have. How people aren't smart enough anymore. They don't watch the games. They're so busy doing social media and coming up with statistical crap that you don't get the stories you should get. And so, yeah, I mean, so La Russa looks bad. So does, the sports media. God, please. Every day, Tony and I just talk afterward as two old men screaming, get off my lawn, about how awful the stories are and the questions are. And I don't like slamming people in my own industry, but I will do it. If I got to slam Tony La Russa, you better believe I can slam this.
Michael.
I'll call you every day and give you examples from now on. I don't commit them to memory. Every day, they're stupid garbage that just shouldn't be out there. Because somebody's telling me that this is the seventh time since 1893 that a guy who was leading going into the seventh inning in a road New Jersey. I mean, I got this crap every day.
Mike.
It's every day. I don't want to remember it. I want to fire people. I want to be like the New York Rangers and have people fired.
Oh, yeah. We broke that down. How do you feel about exit velocity, Mike?
Well, this is all of it. They don't watch the game, Tommy. I have been in press boxes even 10 years ago. I don't really go in that many anymore. I've been in press boxes, football and baseball particularly, and I've said to the people who either are, you know, sort of young mentees of mine or they work for the Washington Post, and they're very bright and they're very talented, way more talented than me. And I have walked through press boxes and said, put the phone down and watch the damn game. You think I'm kidding?
You were talking to Sylvie, I think,
That to Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs it too. But, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not going to isolate the blame on Tony La Russa. There's plenty of blame to go around because nobody watches. Yeah, Kenny Rosenthal watches the game because, sorry, even though Kenny looks 35, he's closer to 60. So Kenny watches the games and Buster only watches the games and people that you – yes, they – but people half their age, they don't even watch the games. They can't tell you the narrative of what happened in the game. They got to tell you about damn exit velocity.
Mike, it sounds like I'm going to ask you a question that you've already answered. It sounds like you don't enjoy baseball as much as you used to. And how much of that is all of the different strategy that includes like pitchers and spin rates and batter, like pitchers are dominating hitters more than they ever have in the history of the sport.
Well, good. Let the equilibrium take place organically. Good. They've dominated them. Let it be 1968. Let people be Bob Gibson and Mickey Lolich and Denny McClain. I'm fine watching that. I don't want artificial crap to be brought out to even it up. So I'm not, you know, that's a great question, Tommy. I don't dislike baseball and the strategies. I like the way it's reported. I hate the way it's reported, the way it's talked about. I don't ever start a conversation about my favorite game of the last couple of days with spin rate, ever.
I will say that
people in media and marketing have killed it.
Yeah, I mean, I may not share the same enthusiasm for the hatred towards that, but like the conversation where everyone's drooling about a good exit velocity gets me going. It never has. But you know, I mean, we're old, Mike. You and I are.
But Michael, don't give
up.
You
know what? You know what?
Don't give up on the Cubs.
Let them have their baseball. Let them have their sport. Their ruined sport that all they do is complain about what's out of whack, what's out of balance, why the pitchers are so dominant. That's been the history of the sport for 140 years. It's hitting for a while when Ruth comes up and they come out of the Black Sox scandal, and then it's pitching for a while for 13 or 14 years and they lower the mound, which was sort of artificial, very artificial. But this is they can't be happy with any part of it. Let's reduce the spin rate and put the ball in play. What do we got now? We got more people striking out than ever.
Yes.
To hell with them.
Yeah. It's a good rant.
Let's watch cricket. Let's just start watching cricket.
I want to ask you coming up next about what you think about Aaron Rodgers making the Last Dance analogy to our 90s Bulls.
That was so great.
And Michael, the Bears are not denying Arlington Heights. It's coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Michael Wilbon, every Wednesday, 5 o'clock, talking to him about the La Russa situation. What do you make of where this Aaron Rodgers story has gone? And today, it was funny, Michael, I tweeted it out that not only was Tony La Russa trending today, but so was Jerry Krause. It made me think that we're back in the 90s. But it was because of his analogy that he made, like, Gutekunst is the Jerry Krause of the Bulls dynasty. He's looking to break this up. So how do you feel about that?
That's so great. I loved it when I heard it this morning. And people, I told you guys what a big NBA head Aaron Rodgers is. I usually see him at play. I see him more at playoff games than I do at NFL games. That's just my schedule mostly. But Aaron is a completely astute NBA basketball junkie who has all the subtleties and nuances. And he nailed it. Now, the thing he's got to realize is, of course, that Michael and Scotty, for the most part, just stayed right there. They had to put up with Krause until they won. Now, they did break it up, you know, therefore the last dance at the end, but there was a lot of winning.
Yeah, I was going to say there were six championships.
That was so funny. So funny.
Where are you at, Mike, with how Green Bay has handled it? There are varying opinions on what Green Bay did or should have done. What's that?
Mine's not favorable. Yeah. Mine is not favorable. And remember, the president of the Packers was the longtime and very successful athletic director at a certain university that I call alma mater.
Yeah, Mark Murphy.
And so I really, really respect Mark tremendously. But this to me is pretty whiny, and I don't like it. And I don't know if this comes from Mark. But if you draft Jordan Love, then live with it.
You got rid of Favre after 16 years. Mike, is it whiny on Rodgers' behalf or the Packers' behalf?
Maybe both. I said yesterday there was plenty of blame to go around.
Right.
So if you're the Packers and you drafted a guy and you're okay drafting, you drafted Jordan Love, not in the third round, you drafted him in the first round. Then if Aaron Rodgers wants to go, he's won one Super Bowl, right? He's won one, which ties him with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, you know what, it was good having you. They successfully did this already. They had 16 years with Brett Favre. They did the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. They made it work. Why not have the confidence, the stones, to say, we got our guy. Let's go. We're going again. We're going to do the same thing. He'll be here for 16 years.
I think the difference is at the time when they made the break with Favre, they wanted to break from Favre, right? And I don't think the Packers want to break from Rodgers.
He was always threatening retirement.
Then why did they draft Jordan Love in the first round?
Well,
if you don't want to break with Favre, why do you do it? Of course they were ready to. They might not have been saying, we want to kick you out today. No one drafts a quarterback thinking he's going to sit for 2 or 3 years anymore.
Well, that's
true. They don't do that.
That's true, but I don't think that the Green Bay Packers at this particular time are looking to get away from Aaron Rodgers.
What's the difference between what they did with Favre and Rodgers?
Again,
they were both productive.
Yes, but I think that they wanted to get away from Favre at that time and go to Rodgers. I'm not so sure, and maybe that speaks to them not being sure what Jordan Love is, but I get the feel, because if you listen to anything coming out of Green Bay, Green Bay has actually offered Rodgers an extended contract or more money.
Well, that's why I'm disappointed in Green Bay. Then what the hell were you doing? You screwed up a first-round draft pick.
Right, on a championship-worthy team.
Yes, what were you doing? Then why not go out like people have said on Rodgers' behalf and draft somebody in the first round to help you win last year?
Right.
Because you might have been a player away. You could have traded down and got two guys, maybe a second and third rounder who could have been Pro Bowl lineman. I don't know. But the point is, you can't have it both ways, Packers.
Well, you can't.
If you want this guy out, then put Jordan Love in and tell him to take a hike and take the big package from the Niners or the Broncos or whoever's offering it.
That's what I said to Sylvie earlier. We were watching the television and NFL Live. Dan Orlovsky was talking about, I think one of the guys was talking about, one NFL GM suggests that the Packers may be able to get like two ones and a number two for Rodgers.
If that's the case, I would deal it.
Get off the pot.
Yeah, I would deal it.
Then do it. Then I'm tired of hearing. I don't want to hear the Packers proclaiming their everlasting love at these, you know, sitting at the table at a microphone. I don't want to hear that garbage. And then, you know, I love Aaron Rodgers. I just love him. He's my favorite quarterback, which is hard for a guy who grew up where I grew up and followed the team I follow to say. I love him. I know him a little bit. Personally, I just like Aaron Rodgers. But I'm also ready for him to step to the mic or wherever he wants to do it, go to Twitter, I don't care how he does it, and say, you know what, I'm done with these people. Don't let other people do your bidding. I'm done with them. I'm out. Get me out.
But maybe he said no that to them. Like, that. Russell Wilson didn't come out publicly and say anything. I mean,
yeah, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did. His agent did it. That's, your right? agent doesn't say That's, anything unless you bless it.
Where do you
it.
Think this is coming from? I mean, yeah, like, I, the, what I
no,
don't
no, 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 no. If you do your, if your agent does it, that's your official spokesman. You've tapped this person on the shoulder and told the whole world, you represent me. I know. I have an agent. If it comes from my agent, that's coming from me. I'm not talking about, so that's what Russell Wilson did. I'm not talking Aaron Rodgers. I don't know who it's coming from. Who's it coming from?
It's coming from
Mike,
him.
Mike, when okay, my theory on this is that, like, Aaron's different than a lot of guys. And in this day and age, you do have to cater to your superstars, especially ones that are as exceptionally talented as he is. They yes. don't, they can draft whoever the hell they want. And I don't blame them for doing it. I think you should still give him as much support as possible. But I think this feels like there was a communication breakdown. And maybe Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback that wanted that communication. He wanted to be in the fold when some of these conversations were being, like, I look at this situation different than the one in Seattle, and I have less I have less sympathy for the situation where Russell Wilson is. I mean, he took a giant contract. They've tried their best to do everything that Russell Wilson wanted. What have the Seahawks done that would warrant a decision by Russell to say, hey, I just don't want to be here anymore? Like, at that point,
I
I'd
agree
be
with
like...
I agree with all that. But, Aaron Rodgers not only is a hoop head, he's a part owner of a franchise, for God's sake. He sees himself, and I think most people see him differently, quarterbacks, and a handful of other people on the position actually varies. Quarterbacks now are, they get that kind of consideration routinely from their franchises, from their owners, about being in the loop on these conversations. Yeah. By the way,
that's
you don't have to say, can we, may we? We're not asking you, but we're telling you. We're keeping you informed. And it doesn't seem like the Packers did that. The Packers did business the old-fashioned NFL way, where they want to tell you what nights you can sleep with your wife and what nights you can't. And so, I mean, that's always been my analogy with the NFL, is that that's the kind of, you know, bodaciousness and ownership, literal ownership, NFL franchises maintain of their players. So Aaron knows how it used to work because he came into the league under that kind of more or less of that. And now he's in a position where he can be LeBron James. And he can dictate. So do it. So don't be passive aggressive. Do it. Stand there and say, this is the deal. This is what's going to happen. Because I think if Aaron Rodgers really wants to go, he's gone. I said last year that, you know what? You know what's more offensive to me if I was Aaron Rodgers? I'd like to ask him this. You know, it would be totally off the record, I'm sure. But I think drafting a quarterback was a lot less offensive to him than not letting him have the ball in his hands at the end of a playoff game.
Right, it's both. Coaching and general manager. It's a good point.
That was, you know.
They're right. Really quick, Michael, the Bears have not denied that they could very well be interested in that land where Arlington Racecourse is to build a brand new, bigger stadium with a retractable roof.
Yes!
How many times you guys want my answer? This is like going over the draft. Everybody on ESPN has to say the same thing for 12 weeks every day until we get to the draft. Yeah. Let me try to
give up. You're gonna give up your season tickets if they eventually make that decision and move?
I don't have any season tickets. I do buy tickets, but I don't have seasons. Let me just say this very simply. One, you don't deny anything because you need leverage to get Soldier Field rebuilt, which is what they could easily do. I'm going to say this very simply. You guys can ask me this every day, every week, for the rest of time. Anybody who would leave Chicago's lakefront to go one street west is an idiot. And the Bears, those people are not idiots, okay? They are going to use whatever left. First of all, the NFL wouldn't even let them do
yes,
that.
They would. Come on.
No, they
yes,
would.
They
no,
would.
They would.
If hey, it's Mike, good where, for is, business. Where is AT&T Stadium in Dallas? Not in Dallas.
Don't compare damn Dallas to the book depository to Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, you stop it. You stop it. Where are all of these stadiums?
Where's
None
the
of these
49ers
stadiums are in
stadium?
The big city.
Yeah.
It's in Santa Clara, Selby.
Listen,
thank you.
Listen. Do you guys ever leave the studio?
Hey, did you ever go to
that
Dolphin Stadium? Did you go to
the
Dolphin Stadium? It's like halfway between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. It's not Miami, Mike. You know
where
that.
Where was the Orange Bowl?
Well, that was in Miami. That's years ago, and they moved
to the
ground. Don't just say it was in Miami. You know where it was.
Okay,
it was in a place where people were afraid to park their cars and go to the stadium. Don't make this equivalent to Soldier Field. I'm not an idiot. I live there. I can walk there.
Well, if you walk right, you're going to walk right into the water.
And I know if you leave Soldier Field, if you leave an iconic location where you have a stadium and where they will renovate it and do it just like they did 20 years ago again, except bigger and better. If you leave that to go one street west, you're an idiot.
What makes you think, Mike, that this time when they renovate this stadium, they're going to get it right?
This time the UFO will fly.
Right? I
didn't say they were going to get it right. They're going to do it, and it's going to be huge and better and shinier and have more whistles and toilets.
You're describing it as them getting it right. Bigger, nicer.
That's not getting it right. They got more toilets than they had in 1974. Trust me, I went before the renovation and after the renovation plenty of times. If you move one street off Lakeshore Drive to go to Arlington and a racetrack in the middle of nowhere, you're an idiot.
Why don't we move it east and we'll put it
on a
flotilla?
Yeah, right.
And you've got to actually take a boat.
Now you're talking.
To the stadium.
Float it, baby.
A floating stadium.
You just solved all of our issues.
Now you're talking. Right.
We got our quarterback. Okay. Now we got our floating stadium.
Yes.
Remember what I said. One street west if you move. And by the way, again, the family has to maintain its leverage. They should say we're not saying anything. Somebody's got to come to them and say we will. By the way, what's the difference between redoing Soldier Field and a new stadium? Maybe as much as plus $1 billion? Maybe am I way off?
Oh, I think a new stadium,
stadium would be $2 billion, right?
At least. One that just built in LA was $5 billion. Kroenke built a $5 billion
dollar monster. That's LA. We're not LA. It ain't gonna cost $5 billion.
$2 billion.
But let's say $3 billion.
Okay.
What's it cost to redo Soldier Field? 1.5. Whatever it is, it's significantly less.
All right.
And you don't tear up the city, and stop with this Arlington crap. Stop.
All right, we'll continue this next week. Michael,
we'll
good stuff.
I know.
You guys just want to get me all lathered up.
We got you. Mission accomplished.
Yes, well done.
I'm going to my phone now while I watch the Cubs game.
Yeah.
See you later,
Michael.
You guys
got your number one jerseys yet? Do we know what jersey number?
Number one. I've ordered them for my kids.
There's an orange one already on the way to my house. I couldn't stop it.
Exit velocity of these jerseys coming off the shelves is unbelievable.
Right. That's good.
See you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
There you go, Michael.
All right,
Wilbon.
You guys.
If you want to react to any of the Michael Wilbon stuff, 312-332-3776, Bears Stadium, and also the Aaron Rodgers stuff or Tony La Russa.
By the way, Mike, brought to you by Design First Builders. Before you remodel, design first.
We'll take your calls next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Whether you want to talk about Tony La Russa not knowing the rule book or his botched stolen base strategy, in the 10th inning, Sox lose 1-0. Cubs play tonight. I've now known two people who have turned off the game last night and missed the outcome. It was
really?
Wilbon and it was my mom. They both had enough. And you can't do that today.
No.
You just, it's a two-run game. I mean, come on. You don't turn the game off. Where do you got to go?
By the way, I will be watching Capitals and Rangers tonight. Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a crazy
situation.
I don't know where I'm
going
to find it, but I'm going to find it.
Is it NBC? Or is that,
I hope
it's
so.
It's got to be like the big national game.
I would think so. I think they would put this
on
national television.
Revenge. Yeah, the Rangers are not happy, and they're firing people.
Yeah.
So Wilbon also addressed the Aaron Rodgers situation. And then this Soldier Field thing I've been meaning to get to, and we could talk about it the rest of this show and even into tomorrow's show. The story has gotten some national play now. So this started last week where Scott Hagel, who works for the Bears, longtime Bears guy, did you know in 1995, I was an intern at WGN Radio,
yes,
and the intern who followed me immediately was Scott Hagel. And so we have known each other for a long, long time. We spent the summer of 95 playing basketball in Skokie and going to Baker Square all summer long.
Shirtless on both fronts.
Yes, absolutely.
Basketball and Baker Square.
Yes, and then get me that Oreo cookie pie or something like that.
Nothing says, you know, fantastic other than an Oreo cookie pie after a long day of basketball.
So he was doing an interview with Cranes, and they were asking him about Soldier Field. And Arlington, if you don't know, is in its last run. It's for sale, the entire land. It would be a prime spot. It's got arteries to get to that stadium. It is used to filling
close to the
big
airport.
Crowds. It's close to the airport. It's close to 290. It's got so many different ways that you can get there.
Their final thoroughbred meet is underway right now, and after this meet, it will be done for good.
It's got a convenient train station that lets you off in the parking lot for Metra. And it's not easy for Soldier Field getting to there by train or anything like that. I mean, even the Red Line, you got to walk through the entire maze and everything like that.
Look, we're going to have to do some zoning, negotiations,
right.
But like that's all part of it.
So the story goes that in Cranes, the Bears didn't deny this, that they could be interested in buying this land and building a new stadium. And then
with a partner's help, it would have to have a partner involved.
And then Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, addressed this and was saying, no, this isn't going to happen. The NFL won't let the Bears leave.
I disagree.
And then the mayor of Arlington Heights came out and says, yeah, I think the Bears are interested in my land here.
I would think they should be. And by the way, as I said earlier, I don't know if there's anything legally that I'm missing, but I disagree with the concepts that the NFL would prohibit the Bears from leaving Chicago.
Because the NFL, precedent.
With the NFL, like we just said to Wilbon, there are plenty of NFL teams where their stadiums, the Miami Dolphins Stadium, the Hard Rock Stadium, whatever it's called, isn't in Miami.
Right.
It's halfway between Miami and Fort Lauderdale.
Santa Clara is 40 miles away from San Francisco. You know, New Jersey is the home of the New York Jets and Giants.
They
you know,
a big, beautiful stadium to host a Super Bowl in the third largest market in the country. I think they would dive all over that opportunity.
And the funny part is the only thing the Chicago Bears do in Chicago is play 8 times a year. They train every day in Lake Forest, Illinois, in the northern suburbs of Chicago. Now, I agree with Wilbon. This is great leverage. So Lori Lightfoot did say in this one article I read over the weekend that she understands that's not a good stadium. At least now people with the city are all coming to this conclusion that we've had for a long time. $61,500 for the Chicago Bears is not good. It is not modern. It's in a really, you had to build a stadium within the confines of those
columns,
so you didn't have a lot of room to build it. There's not enough tailgate spaces. I would want a roof. I want more tailgate spaces. I need more of everything.
Listen,
I'm staying at Soldier Field.
I would just suggest for Bears fans to visit some other stadiums. Like, if you ever get a chance, go to the AT&T Stadium. I mean, it's crazy what they offer, the amenities, the sight lines, all that stuff. Go to any number of these stadiums.
You don't have to go that far. Go to Indy.
There you go.
Indy's another one. Good call.
You've been in there. It's beautiful.
3.5 hours away.
That's perfect.
It's
how
amazing.
Many people,
how
that's
many,
an amazing
how many does that
stadium.
See?
80? 75 or 80?
Yeah, I mean, it's a decent amount. And there's the entrance around the entire building. No, you don't need your jacket. You're walking in there, short sleeves, jean shorts, whatever you want to, cargo shorts if you want
and
to.
By the way, like
there's beer at every turn.
You know what I want is a retractable dome because I want to play on grass, okay? And I want to have the outdoor elements. But by the same token, I don't, you know, like this whole bear weather thing is it just.
Well, how about with a retractable roof, too? During non-bear season, we could also have concerts in January, February, and March. We could have the Final Four in this town. We could have a Super Bowl in this town. You could use this facility 12 months out of the year.
Put a casino right there, too.
Let's make a floating stadium. That was a good idea.
Thank you.
Ron and Wheeling, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ronnie?
Yeah, first-time caller. Love you guys. Will Bong's all wet on this stuff. And I'm pretty much, you guys pretty much said it all, but I'm just going to add on to this. I'm a season ticket holder. You can only get to Soldier Field from two directions, north or south. The railroad tracks are on the west, and the lake is on the east.
Yeah.
So if you move it one block west, forget about it. That doesn't make any difference. Here's the deal. They're not going to, Lightfoot's not going to put a dome, build a new stadium with a dome. I doubt that's ever going to happen. So the big picture is the Bears got to go with this. They got to go along with this. If they don't, the big picture would be Arlington Heights should build it. As in the movie, Field of Dreams,
you build it,
they will come.
Right.
And here's what's going to happen. You go to the NFL, we're building this, I'm talking about Arlington Heights, and they would bring a second NFL team if the Bears don't go in this.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's the one thing I don't think the NFL would sign off on. I don't believe the NFL is going to allow another team.
Not just the fact of precedent with all these other cities having these stadiums. I believe that the charter franchise of the National Football League decided it's in their best interest and the best interest of their pocketbooks that, hey, we could own our own stadium instead of leasing our own stadium. All the money now goes into our pocket from concessions and from parking and everything like this. And it's going to increase our worth. That means it's good for the league. The NFL won't care about the city of Chicago. It cares about its franchises and the well-being of its franchises.
Again, the how far out would a stadium in Arlington Heights be from the city? 25 miles?
35. Yeah, I think it's 30 to 35 miles.
Okay, let's say 32 miles. I bet there are stadiums that are more than 32 miles away. Yeah, like you said. I mean, the Dolphin Stadium is probably more than 30 miles away.
It's not. No, from the city. It's only like 12 or 13. I did all this research back when this was a topic in the fall.
But it's not right in the middle of the city.
No, it's not. It's not as far as you think. And like even the New Jersey thing, I think it's only like 15 miles. It's not far mileage-wise, but Santa Clara is. Yeah. It's over 40 miles for the San Francisco 49ers. 312-332-3776. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Here's what I need you to do, guys. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza, your local grocer. It's available at Jewel Osco, Mariano's, and experience restaurant-quality pizza right at home. Connie's Frozen Pizza. It's awesome. From Chicago, for Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow @ Waddle and Sylvie and @ TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Black and Abdallah have a full ride tonight as well. They're going to be, I'm sure, all over the La Russa story, play of the audio. We've been playing it all afternoon. Sox lose today. Tony doesn't know the 10th inning rules. On the runners.
I got to say, this is probably the most I've ever heard of or talked about a manager through the first 5 weeks of any baseball season.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest fears have turned real, right? I mean, this is what we wondered. Would we be doing this or would we be like, oh, he's right back and he's just the manager and they're playing baseball? But it's been every week. I mean, there's been a different conversation every week, whether it's Nick Williams or Lucas Giolito or Billy Hamilton or knowing the rules or knowing how long you have to challenge a play in Anaheim or staying with a pitcher too long and apologizing for it in Seattle.
I think we need to call Jonathan. Jay Hood was a little upset when he
did
left.
Did you see his eyes when he walked in?
Yeah, he's a little upset. We need to maybe call him and see if he's okay.
Talking some football as well in stadium situations with the Bears, where this is now starting to get written about nationally that the Bears could be interested in Arlington Heights. Are they using it to try and get improvements with Soldier, and what would those improvements be? John in Arlington Heights, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Johnny?
Firstly, Waddle and Sylvie, you guys single-handedly shamed the Bears into making a good move in the draft, so congrats on that. Secondly, Wilbom is wrong. The McCaskies are the stupidest billionaire family in the world. Thirdly, it's disgraceful what's going on out here with the race course. The leading owner here, Vince Foglia, he's got the top bid in of $330 million. They would rather sell it for $250 and have it a construction site. What happened was, Churchill Downs, who owns this, when the gambling licenses were first issued, they went and bought Rivers Casino.
Right.
So they're not going to sell to Vince Foglia for a race course because they don't want him to have a casino against them. So it's absolutely disgraceful putting out that it's the last year when this man is willing to go to all lengths to keep horse racing going.
Yeah, what kind of accent do you have, John? That's I like your accent.
If you guess right, I'll take you to the Erie Cafe. You and what?
You're an Irish brogue.
I was going to say Scottish.
No. If it's Scottish, I'm going to take him to the worst restaurant. It's absolutely disgraceful, guys. What's going on out here? And you know, horse racing has never been promoted properly. Arlington Heights, Arlington Park has never been managed properly. It's never been marketed at all. We should have like top concerts out here with all the top groups in the world in the summer. It's a fantastic venue.
John, are you a horseman?
I've owned horses. Yes.
That's what I thought. I mean, so you have a stake in this game.
Well, I'm a big Bears fan as well,
yeah.
But I don't see them moving out where they're at now. I really don't see it.
Yeah, thanks, John. The problem, like Wilbon was saying, what he thinks that the best idea is to just renovate Soldier Field again. What makes you think that it's gonna be done the way it needs to be done this time?
It is almost impossible considering the lack of space that you have.
Yeah, problem. So look, you're not going to be able to create any more relief in terms of getting in and out of there. In terms of the creature comforts,
right.
Look, I'm not an architect. I don't know how many extra seats you can add and whether or not you could even put a retractable roof on there.
Well, that's a really good point, too. Like, if you were able to add 10,000 more seats, how's that going to help traffic?
It's only going to make it more worse.
Of a bottleneck.
Yeah.
Jason on the west side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Love your show.
You got it. Well, what kind of accent do you got there, John?
Straight Jason. Chicago, baby.
I know. I could tell right away.
Born and raised.
Love it.
Hey guys, so with the Bears, I agree with Wilbon. You don't leave the lakefront, but like you guys said, how are you going to add 10,000-20,000 and keep the traffic down? That's going to be tough. But I'm going to go with La Russa, and I'm a Cubs fan, and ultimately just a baseball fan. But hearing this guy talk, just since they hired him, I could tell he's got a screw loose, man. 10 years ago, you listened to Tony La Russa talk, and you think this guy knows what he's talking about. And he was somebody to listen to and respect his word, but just since they hired this guy, it sounds like he's got a screw loose. And I don't know
about if he's got it. I
respect the man. He's a Hall of Fame manager. What has transpired so far in 5 weeks with the White Sox has been more than questionable.
I don't know. When we have our athletes and we have an older athlete out there, okay, 38-year-old, 39-year-old, we're not scared to say it looks like his best days have passed him by. It looks like he's a little bit washed up, right? That's, I think, what you're getting with a manager. His best days are gone. Why are we scared to say it?
No, I mean, listen, it's fair. Like, I don't think he's ever going to, reach the heights of his Hall of Fame, managerial career prior to his second stop here with the White Sox.
Like when Ken Griffey Jr. at the end of his career looks a little different and isn't catching the fastball. We're like, look, the game is past Griff, up, and it's time to step away. I think that's apparent here. I think it's apparent.
Yeah. It's on the big show tonight, Adam.
Sports.
Okay. Good stuff.
I know it. Yeah. All right. Black and Abdallah coming up in 2 minutes. Wilbon, the only guest. 312-332-3776 to talk to Black and Abdallah, Sox, Bears, whatever's on your mind. And thank you to them for producing our show. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.